everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about our film review of the Packers 27-17 loss at Buffalo on Sunday night. So, Eric, I'm watching the game and came away with a feeling of...
Did you go to sleep before it was done?
Oh, I stayed up for the whole thing, actually.
Okay.
And they, you know, they were outclassed for a lot of this game. And I came away by halftime and early in the third quarter. And this team, even if they somehow get in the playoffs, you know, and win enough, they just can't beat the best teams in the league. That just ain't going to happen. Now, they did hang in there, and, you know, they competed to the end and all that. But that was kind of my feeling. So then when I called you, I thought it was interesting that you said that you're feeling after, you know, you watched the game basically on tape because you rebound plays and all that, that when you went to bed, you left with the feeling that if the Packers were looking for signs that they can have a decent offense for the rest of the year and that next year they won't need to do, you know, a total rebuild. You thought you saw him. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, first of all, every time I hear somebody say, if the Packers make the playoffs, you remember that Jim Mora clip?
From yeah.
Like the 90s? Yeah. I love that when he was with the Colts. Playoffs? Yeah. Playoffs? There's no way this is a playoff team, first of all. Second of all.
The one thing I, you know, just I don't want to ever be a prisoner of what's happened most recently. So while I think it's a big, huge long shot, I'm still not 100% writing them off. I'm only 90% of the way there. It sounds like you're all the way there.
Yeah, I highlighted him on my list as being eliminated.
Okay, so anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's quite all right. You're right. I went to bed feeling like, hey, could be worse. You know, they definitely have some really big flaws. But the couple of things that I took away were, number one, I really liked how the receivers are developing as players. And first of all, the difference between the collegiate level and the pro level is at that position is incredible. You've heard me pound this over and over again, that there are three hardest positions to play at the professional level coming out of college: quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. There's a lot of stuff, and they have to be able, all that stuff needs to mesh. And wide receivers in college used to just run by guys. You know, they were probably faster or you know, they might have a one or two good D-backs that they faced the entire season, but by and large, they're probably more athletic and faster. So they didn't have to be as crisp with their routes. They never caught the ball in coverage or at least competitively, you know, within two or three guys standing around them, which is something you got to think about too. Is you got to block all that out. There are two guys trying to get the ball and you're trying to focus on the ball and they're running and you're running and now I'm jumping. There's a lot there to think about. And then most importantly is getting in and out of breaks, getting off the ball and being able to change the route based on what you're seeing. You got a safety over the top of you. I might have to cut this short. My guy's got leverage to the inside and there's nobody to the right. So I'm going to move over to the right, or I'm going to cut right. Or there's all these different things that they got to think about. And a couple things that I really, really liked. Okay. So the one thing I liked was Samari Toure. He's running the post and saw that there wasn't anything to his right, and he's got the D-backs got coverage leverage to his left. He cuts it off right. Roger sees it and hits him for 37 yards or whatever it was in the end zone. That's a really nice little play. You really like that.
Did he know Rogers was moving around, or do you think he just saw that space and took it?
I think he saw the space and took it. That's what they're taught to do, and that's where they have to be. And Rodgers, guys, you guys know that he's a really super smart quarterback, and he's looking for those things, and that happened. And I really feel like, you know, that's one little step. And when I'm looking at Dobbs, there were two things. I guess the first one that stuck out in my head was there was a play in the second quarter where the D-back bailed. It was an RPO, and – Dobbs broke off his route and just ran that little parallel route along the line of scrimmage, caught the ball, picked up 7 yards. That's the kind of things that that quarterback really likes, and it's really going to be kind of the trust factor that they're building. Not only that, but he had that circus catch in the end zone. He had another catch up along the sideline that was really good. So I was really impressed with that. And that's kind of like, hey, okay, this isn't so bad. And then I still on offense, you saw them run the ball very, very effectively. A lot of it with two high safeties. However, I love the way their offensive line gets after. I love power football. I love the way they do that. And the way they're pulling guys and their down blocks were crisp and clean. Just there's a little bit still left in the pass pro part. And with that quarterback being the guy that he is, Pete, they need to protect him. They need to, that AB gap's got to be sound so he can do some of the things that he used to do, the step up and throw or step up and slide out of the pocket. You know, some people are asking, why is he doing that? Is he too old? Has he lost a step? Well, there's nowhere for him to step up, first of all, so he can't do it. So that's a big thing. And the other thing is, you know, so I really like the way that they are meshing at the point of attack in the run game, and all those things are right there. And I think I came away thinking, yeah, this isn't the worst thing in the world.
So what are they going to do when Detroit, because the Bills sat back two shell most of the game, kind of invited them to run. Now the Bills, I think they play everybody like that. And they were number one in fewest rushing yards allowed, and they were tied for fifth for yards per carry. So they're a good rushing defense anyway. But what are they going to do when Detroit starts, you know, really loading up on the box to not let Jones and Dillon beat them?
Well, there's different ways to beat them. And that's when they have both backs in the backfield and throw to one of them. Another thing that they can do to get away from that is going to be to run, you know, you saw a lot of passes up to the perimeter to Dillon and Jones. You'll see some more of that kind of stuff, screen passes, which they got to clean up that a little bit. It's not as good as you want. And the other thing is, if they're going to send backers and safeties, tight end should be a very viable option for them, and it should be right there open for them. So I think they have a little bit of zing to their zang, but you know, it's still just going to be tough because they're really lacking exceptional athletes on the perimeter. And you saw Watson have one catch and go down. Obviously, he's paper mache, so it's going to be really hard for them to be explosive on the outside. They're just going to have to be patient and give them what they and take what they are given. And it's going to be tight ends in the low hole, running backs and screen games and wide receiver screens to kind of slow things up and make them play up towards the line of scrimmage. And then maybe they get lucky and they beat one a post or a post corner later in the game.
Yeah, this is it's the way they have to play to a large degree, but it is a tough way to make a living in the NFL because, you know, you move the ball down the field, then you get fourth and one and you don't get it. And you've just, you know, chewed up 6 minutes of the clock and have nothing to show for it. And then you watch the Bills hit two or three passes and they're in scoring position. So it is a tough way to live. What about the on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, this defense is really underachieved. I mean, a lot of us who have watched this team daily, like in camp, thought this is going to be a really good defense. Or even you saw it on paper, as you and I talked about. You saw it on paper after all the offseason moves, thought it would be really good. And it's just been, what, an average defense, maybe a little bit above average. Something's missing there. And I wonder, you know, if Joe, how big of an issue Joe Barry is as part of this, and how much of it is guys just aren't as good as some of us thought they were, you know, speaking of Savage, Douglas, even Campbell hasn't been as good. He's been okay, but he hasn't been as good as he was last year.
Oh, correct. And some of it is, I believe is, you know, the scheme that they run and the bodies that they have. So like we were talking about, right. Yeah. You know, coming into the season, they get Campbell back. They get Rasul Douglas back. Jair Alexander's back from injury. You're thinking, all right, they are just hell-bent for election. This is going to be one heck of a year. They signed Jaron Reed. They picked up a linebacker and a D lineman in the first round. Like, they are loaded up, ready for bear. And unfortunately, it's just not happening. And part of it is, for whatever reason, their pass rush, I think, is letting them down a little bit. For these type of defenses, and you look at it, the Bills ran a similar defense the Jets run kind of the same, but the reality is that they are getting it done with their front four. Those front four have got to be more disruptive and have got to get more penetration in the pass game in order to get the quarterback off his spot so that bad things happen. And you saw last night when the quarterback was off the spot that there's two picks, a couple of bad throws, should have been a third pick. Unfortunately, they all happened way too late in the game, but it didn't matter much. But it just goes to show with a guy, even as good as that quarterback was, they were able to make things happen when they get him off the spot. So you're facing some quarterbacks coming down the road here. You got Goff, who certainly is prone to throw those things up, especially on the move. And there's going to be a lot more opportunities. You got Dak Prescott coming up, and then you got Jalen Hurts. This is a tough stretch. And that front four has got to start performing.
Yeah, no, and especially after watching Matt LaFleur's press conference today on Monday, he talked about in it, and I really didn't think that much about this when you and I were talking, but a lot of that lack of pass rush today had to do with the quarterback they're playing, because rushing that guy, it's a little bit like playing Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson. Because he's such a good runner, you have to be really, really pass rush lane conscious. But to do that, that means you can't, your room to maneuver is limited, so it's harder to get the quarterback. And the couple of times, like on the 3rd and 14, first quarter, big play. They're at the Packers 21, I think. You get your stop, they kick a field goal, so what? Preston Smith gets caught just a little too far inside. Allen runs around him, runs for – I don't know, must have been at least 20 yards first down. A couple plays later, they're in the end zone. I'm not letting, Joe Barry off the hook or anything here, but this guy creates problems because he's also a great passer. He creates problems that no other quarterback in the league creates. Maybe Patrick Mahomes is of a similar, having all those abilities too. But it's just, defending these guys and defending this guy is really tough.
Oh, for sure. And yes, there's a lot to that. However, you still got to get pressure on him. You still got to. And what I mean by pressure, it isn't so much that you break free and make a sack. That guard center, AB gap, guard center gap in pass protection is crucial. If you can push those offensive linemen, like you see happen to Aaron Rodgers time and time again, week after week, where the guards and centers are sitting on his lap, it's really difficult to complete passes. And it's really difficult if you get him uncomfortable and he turns either way and there's an outside linebacker in his mug, that's when bad things happen. And those opportunities have just got to get better. They're not good enough to get done what they need to get done. The way the D-line is performing, and there were times this year the D-line performed awesome, but this little stretch here lately hasn't been very good. I mean, they're giving up a ton of yards on the ground. Some of that is not the D-line's fault, but certainly it plays a role. Ironically enough, their rushing yards went down when Quay Walker left the game. I don't know if you noticed any of that, but that certainly was a boon for the Packers defense by default. You saw the way that the Bills found him on the very first play, and particularly ran at him constantly. So I think, again, if that defense is going to perform the way we expect them to perform, it's going to have to start up front.
Yeah, it's been a rough rookie year overall for Quay Walker. No getting around that. So last week, Zach Tom, all of a sudden on Sunday or Saturday, I think it was just Sunday, he finds out he's playing left tackle, a couple hours before the game. He does okay, holds up fine. Yesterday, same thing, but he's at left guard because of Elgton Jenkins, has a foot ankle injury. And Tom's okay in the run game. He's pretty mobile. But as a pass blocker, some real problems, all the problems that they'd been having on the interior crop up again. What do you think's going on there? I know you have a pretty strong opinion on what you think the issue is with Tom at this point in his career.
By an awful lot. I mean, yeah. The guys he was playing against, and they probably had him by sometimes as much as 30, 40 pounds, and they're playing low to the ground. And, you know, he just doesn't have the mass as a human being to be able to hold up to that. So the only way you're going to hold up to that, if you got a guy who is bigger and stronger than you, is you got to play lower. Your pad level has to be lower. He's got quick enough feet. He's athletic enough to play tackle, where if defensive ends, outside linebackers are going to try to rush the outside, he can get there with his feet and make it happen. But when you got a 350-pound guy breathing down your throat, 2 inches away from your face, and he comes after you, he can't hold. He isn't going to be able to hold up to that. And he just needs to get physically larger for him. I mean, I think he's barely 300 pounds.
I think his listed weight is 305, if I remember right.
Yeah, and there's 305 with a 10-pound plate and is tucked in his belt when he's going to get weighed. There's no, doesn't matter. If you're going to be that light, then your technique has to be that much better. Guys like Scotty Wells could hold up to that because they played with very low center of gravity. They sunk their hips and their knees down underneath it and got their hands under the pads. He's out there hand fighting these big guys, and they're just, you know, they're just schooling them. So I think he's going to have trouble no matter what at the guard size until he starts to get physically larger.
I wonder how many year project that is for guys to get, you know, for a guy like that to get noticeably functionally stronger.
I could put 20 pounds on in about 6 months. I mean, come on. Not even
without breaking any NFL rules.
Oh, not even that. I'll go to order the old, what is that place, the Golden Corral, and I'll slap on 10 pounds in a week. Not very good weight, but I mean, even so, I mean, he's athletic enough. He's not bad. He's just, I mean, if he's going to be that light, and it's probably a chore for him to get to be that heavy. And he's probably going to have to really be dedicated in the offseason to eat the right way and to lift the right way and do the right kind of things and still maintain his athleticism, which isn't always easy. Or he's got to play with a lower center of gravity. His pad level has got to be that much lower than those big guys in order to stop him.
So next week, the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff. So this won't be nearly the challenge at the quarterback position that Josh Allen was this week. So what do you think?
Well, Packers still like to give up an awful lot of yards on the ground. And you got a running back there that might have a small axe to grind in Jamal Williams. So you would expect for him to have a heck of a game. The other part that's really concerning is you're going to have Quay Walker back. And we're going to, and if Campbell's out, we're going to get a really good look at whether or not this guy's going to be any good covering a tight end. And being the key guy there on defense with Campbell out, because they're going to have McDuffie probably would be the guy that would be in if Campbell did not play. Little undersized, so I don't know if they're going to play him over at the weak side and put Walker more in the middle, or strong side backer, which does not bode well for the Packer defense. So it'll be interesting. Excuse me. It'll be interesting to see if they can cover the tight end, because that would, you know, they're going to run the ball. The tight end should have some.
Like, yeah, Hockenson's one of the better tight ends in the NFC,
and he's going to have a heyday because Campbell is really good on the tight end. He's physical enough, he's big enough, and he's got long enough arms where he can kind of play. He can trail him a little bit and still get in there and make the play, or at least get in a good tackle. Walker's going to have to be all speed, and he's going to have to be really sharp. He's going to have to be brilliant with his reads. He's going to have to press the line of scrimmage. And when he's called on to take the linebacker, he's got to be physical in the first 5 yards and then be savvy enough to withstand anything up the seam or if he's going to run those little out routes.
All right. Well, the sand in the hourglass has run out on us here, Eric. So we'll call it a show. But want to thank everybody for tuning in, and then don't forget to read our column where we go into more detail about some of the things we've talked about here. And then we'll be back again next week to talk about the Packers game at Detroit. Until then, take care, everybody. This has been the After Further Review podcast.
See ya.